you're stuck today with the day of Stephen. You go from me this morning, and then Steve will be given the morning lesson, and then as you know, it's his turn in the rotation to teach the adult Bible class at 4 p.m. up here. So Barry left town, so you guys can all blame Barry for having to put up with me and Steve all day long. All right, so this morning, what I want to talk about a little bit is lessons from the playground. You know, there is lessons from the Bible all around us each and every day, and sometimes we need to pull the spiritual aspects out of those physical things to get some of those lessons. You know, as we look at Jesus in his parables, if we go over to Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, it says, "And the disciples came to him and said, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given.'" So why Jesus gave them parables was so when he gave them real life applications, they were able to look through their spiritual lenses and get the message. Those people that rejected the word of God, those people that rejected Christ, would not understand the message and be able to take it. And that was his purpose. So I kind of adopted this early on when I first began to teach, is looking at things through this kind of lens. What kind of lessons can we get from our everyday lives? What lessons are all around us that we can connect the spiritual with? And it helps us pull those lessons out. And one of the lessons I like is lessons from a playground, because let's be honest, who doesn't want to be a big kid? If kickball was in the Olympics, I would be a gold medalist. I love playing, and I guess everybody, when we did the vacation Bible school, seeing that I get all into kid things. So the first thing I want to look at is the game Mother May I. Now, I don't know, kids, do you guys still play Mother May I at school? You guys may not. It may have passed. I'm getting a little bit older now. But everybody knows Mother May I. You have one person that's appointed as mother, and you have to ask them a question. Mother, may I take two steps forward? Mother, may I? And the goal is to make it all the way to the mother. The person that gets there first wins. Now, you know, when we look at this, the object is to get to the end and finish. That's the same way with our Christian lives. We have to understand that we have to do what the Bible tells us to do in order to reach the Father. When we look at the scripture of John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." So in order to get to Christ, in order to get in that right hand, we have to follow the teachings of the Bible. We have to be obedient to what Christ has taught us. Next, in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, "If you fully obey the Lord and carefully follow his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." Now, when we think about it, who doesn't want to be exalted by the Father? Who doesn't want to hear those words, "Job well done, my good and faithful servant"? And then finally, in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the people of the earth, for is mine." So we see, we need to look to the Bible for everything that we do. When we want to make a decision, is our first thing prayer and study? Or do we make the decision and then ask God later to bless it? We have to look and we have to say, "Mother, may I," when it comes to our lives, when it comes to God. Well, we say, "Father, may I." But just like the game, we have to apply that and we have to get permission for what we do. If you look and you look specifically within the church, and I'll use the Church of Christ in air quotes this morning, because we know that now you have from as far left to as far right within the body of Christ. But because they don't look to the Bible for authorization and permission, now you have four or five song leaders up leading each song. You have praise teams that come up. You have preachers wearing robes and collars so they could be set aside from everywhere else. So when we don't ask that permission, we find ourselves going down that errant path. The next game that I loved to play out on the playground was turkey feathers. Now, I don't know how many people play. It's real big in Athens, at Julia Newman specifically, in the intermediate school. But basically, turkey feathers is you tuck your little pieces of flags into your breeches, and you run around, and the goal is to snatch other people's feathers. And when you no longer have any feathers, you're out of the game. And the person that ends up with all the feathers is the winner. So you run around and people are trying to snatch your feather. The person's running around and he's trying to snatch all your feathers. Now you know in our Christian lives, our turkey feathers is our joy and our happiness. Now when we think about it, when we look at our joy and our happiness, who's trying to snatch that away from us? Who's trying to steal our joy and happiness? Now we have to understand that that's Satan. That's Satan's sole job, and what he's working on is to steal our joy and happiness. But we have to understand that we have to be spiritual and follow the Bible in order to ensure that he can't steal our joy and happiness. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." So here we do, we have an adversary, and it says that it's like a roaring lion. Now, I know, has anyone ever seen a man mauled by a lion on these YouTube videos? We know that they're all over. There was someone that was mauled and ate by a hippo in Africa, a newscaster just the other day. But it's a very violent thing. And that lion just comes up, roars, and snatches them right out. And that's what Satan will do to us if we don't resist him and hold firm in our faith. You know, that is why James says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee you. But the problem is we don't always submit to God first. We try to resist and hope that he flees us and then submit to God later. And we're looking at this roaring lion, and we're already in his stomach. He's already got us beat because we didn't first submit to God. Next, John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. So as we're living our lives, as we're sitting there each and every day, we all know that we each have different struggles. We each have different problems that arise in life. You know, Daryl brought it up good when Steve was talking about the emotional piggy bank that we're storing up for the storms of life, because those storms are going to come. So we have to understand that while we do this, that we have to understand who the thief is and live in the protection of the Lord. You know, how many of us truly live in the protection of the Lord? Everything that comes up, we give it over to God, put our faith 100% in God, and don't try to put our hands in the pot and fix the situation ourselves. I think I'm a fixer all the time, and I try to fix it, and I make it worse each and every time. Because that's what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants us to try to fix it ourselves instead of relying on God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 says, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Has anyone ever heard someone and you know that there's no righteousness in the way that they live? They don't submit to God. They don't have a relationship with God, and it's evident. And yet they're always saying, "Look at what God blessed me with." Well, right here in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14, Satan's going to take him, because he's going to make him think that it's coming from God. If you get a check in the mail and you weren't expecting any money, you say, "Oh, look, God blessed me with this money." Did God really bless you with it? Not necessarily. We have to look to where our blessings come from. You know, there's a movie on Netflix, and it's about one of the Pentecostal pastors, and I forget his name, but he fell away because he felt sorry for the people in Africa. And he said, "God came to me in a vision and told me that everybody is saved. You don't have to worry about those people in Africa." And then Oral Roberts had told him, "Are you sure that was God speaking to you when he's speaking against the Bible?" And a lot of times we don't discern that. We don't say, is what we're really understanding and what we're thinking in line with what the Bible says? And then Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, "And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." So when we don't follow God, we see what our punishment's going to be. Satan is looking to take us down with him. He doesn't want us to be exalted up. All right, next, this was probably my best game, freeze tag. run around, and the person who's it tries to tag everybody, and when you get tagged, you're froze. You can't move, Mia. You're stuck. And you just can't move until somebody comes by and unfreezes you. Someone who's not frozen has to come by and tag you to unfreeze you, and the goal is to try to get everyone frozen. And we have to understand that in our Christian lives, sometimes Satan tags us and we become stuck. We fall away. We stop coming to services. We stop living our lives how we're supposed to live them. And we have to understand as Christians, it's our job to lift those people up. The same way that we try to unfreeze the person in freeze tag, we have to try to unfreeze the person when they become stuck, when they become stagnant, when they become falling away. It's our job to try to restore them. We can see in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Now, let us look at ourselves, and as we examine ourselves, how many times have we seen someone in the last couple weeks that hasn't been faithful? And when we've seen them, what have we done to help them out? Have we said, brother, I'll pray for you, we missed you? Have you said, I know that you're going through things, can I help you out with your situation to get you back? Or did we say, hey, how you doing, we miss you, and then walk off and talk about them with your spouse? We have to learn that it's our job to help these people. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? When we see people stuck, sometimes we tend to judge their situation and if they're deserving of our help. If what they're doing meets our standards to receive help. But that's not our place. Our place is to help those who are in need. We don't judge how they got there, why they got there, but we help them because they're in need, because God helped us. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's our job. Our job is to reach out and help those around us. When we see people that aren't coming or we see people that are struggling, brethren, it's our job to help them. And we can see Romans 15:1, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, this is one of the verses that people take from left to right to try to justify everything under the sun. You know, we can't do this because it offends someone, even though it's scripturally told. But that's not what it's saying. It's saying that those who have already overcome these things, help those other people overcome them as you come through. And then John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Do we truly love each other? Will we be willing to risk a relationship to help someone get on the right path, to help someone fix their lives? Or do we just want to be friendly? Finally, Red Rover, Red Rover. Now this game, I wasn't too good at this because I was probably 110 pounds until I was 30 years old. I made Jordan look like a bodybuilder. So I wasn't too good at this game, but what you do is basically you divide into two teams and you create a wall of people. And then someone says, Red Rover, send whoever over, and you say the name and the person comes barreling through and they try to break through the wall. I'm sure that those studying CTs in the NFL probably want to ban this game from the playground, but we have to understand that's what they did. In our Christian lives, sometimes we have to break through the wall of sin. That wall is right there, and we have to try to make it past all of those who want to hold us back. You know, Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25 says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You see, Paul was struggling here, and he's saying that I want to do what's right according to the law of God, but my flesh is weak and it's causing me to stumble. I have to get through these things. And you know, that should be an encouragement to us. If Paul was going through these things, how much more so are we when we didn't have the revelations that he had from the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5 and 16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have to build our wall on spiritual things. We have to go back and have the fruit of the Spirit. We have to understand these things. And then in John chapter 8, verse 31 through 34, it says something similar. We're not going to go through that one. And we also have to stop sin from breaking us apart. We have to work together to be as one. You know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. In order to get by sin, we all need each other. We all need each other to strengthen one another, to build one another up, and help get us through each and every day. And then 3 John 1:8, therefore we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers of the truth. That's our job, to work together as workers of the truth. And I went over by a couple minutes, and I apologize. Now we're going to close, and we'll begin our worship service at approximately 9:35.